This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Welcome in to a very short version of the whole show today. Congratulations to the University Bulldogs. You just heard that game with Kyle Johnson and Bruce Dick here on KFK. We've got another one coming up at 2:30. We got Tanner Schwint in studio, the dude down the hall, Derbs, and Michael Kirkpatrick on the other side of the bulletproof glass. Quickly, we've got a big one tonight, obviously game two, between the Colorado Avalanche and the Las Vegas Golden Knights, fellas. And it sounds like no Cale Makar again. Derbs, how big of an issue is that going to be in Game 2? Pretty crucial Game 2 for the Colorado Avalanche.
I think it's still big, but it's just, I don't think it's as big as Game 1. I think that they're going to make adjustments. They'll do some defensive pairings a little bit different to where those guys won't be so extended on the ice with that top line. They'll rotate a little bit better.
Give me Sam Malinsky on the power play. I'd much rather have him out there than Devon Toews, if I can spit that out.
There you go.
I think it's huge. I think this series gets a lot more interesting with no Cale Makar. I don't know. Derbs has the Avs in seven. You still think they can get it done without Cale Makar, but I think that we saw a lot. I think we saw Vegas able to exploit a little bit more defensively because of the confusion with the defensive pairings. And I think that also offensively, that power play or having a guy that can't carry the puck in like Cale Makar can, because that's what limits it. I mean, those guys know now that, hey, we just have to watch Marty and McKinnon. You don't have that third option out there, Makar just lugging the puck in there. I think it's huge. I still like the Avs in a bounce back spot tonight.
Yeah, I have a feeling that we see this Avalanche team just go to a different level tonight. I mean, we talked about this earlier, but they just don't stay down long. They typically respond. They've done it all year.
Yeah, I think they bounce back tonight. I don't think that they lose two games here at home. I think you get a stronger performance out of Wedgwood, just being a little bit sharper after the rest. I just think you see a sharper team. That is one thing Jared Bednar is very good at, is making adjustments. I think the boys will be prepared tonight.
Yeah, I wonder if I heard him talking about the change in lines, and we saw that at the end of game one. And in fact, I sat here a week ago and said that Bednar, I think, has to at least make the Stanley Cup with his team constructed if he wants to continue his job. And, if the one critique that I would have is, like, I would have liked to see it a little sooner. I mean, because you can see early on that those lines aren't running well together. And in that second line, Dustin was telling us on Good Morning Noke earlier this week, that second line was just atrocious. Those are big bodies that have to have an impact on the game. So, okay, they're having a hard time getting the puck entered instead of just the dump and chase. Put Marty down on that second line and let him buzz around, get it in there, and then let Nichushkin and Nelson do what they do. So I liked what he did at the end of game one. I'd like them to roll those back out there to start game two. Panic button gets smashed if lose tonight.
Yeah. Would Definitely. You agree, Derbs?
Yeah, I agree there.
I mean, it's not to say a series would be over, but I could totally see it. Like, if there were a team to come back from down 0-2 losing both at home, I suppose it would be the Colorado Avalanche, but let's not get to that.
Yeah, and the national narrative does crack me up. Carolina gets just curb stomped last night, and everyone's like, well, it's just the rest. It's just Colorado loses game one without Cale Makar. Like, hey, Vegas is going to win this thing. It's just insane. And you go back to Vegas. Dustin's talked about a tougher place to play. Home ice advantage isn't huge like it is in the other sports. We've talked about that ad nauseum. But also, you got to put Valeri Nichushkin maybe in a villa by himself in Vegas. Mm-hmm. You don't want that guy getting into any of that stuff out there in Vegas. But you those are things that you've got to worry about because there is a history of that. You just have to have 1-1 going on the road. I think they get it done tonight because also Carter Hart's not going 36 of 38. He's not going 36 of 38 again tonight. And I get that a lot of that was just, hey boys, let's just get pucks on net in that game. Not real high scoring opportunity, high danger opportunities. They had a few, but I don't see Carter Hart going 36 of 38 again tonight.
No, I don't either. And I think they'd benefit from more space. They don't need as much traffic in front of the net as they needed in the past two series. They're more skilled, and like he just said, Carter Hart isn't special. So they can beat him in a multiple sides of the ice, multiple shot styles. They don't need the tip-ins, the rebounds, and things like that. They can beat them on their own, and I think you saw that a little bit in the third period where they're going to take a little bit more risks one-on-one and skating rather than passing and loading up traffic.
The unfortunate reality is it seems like the only guy that understood that was Logan O'Connor. Mm-hmm. You can't have your number four line be your best line, and they were with Logan O'Connor, Jack Drury, and Parker Kelly. Those guys are dogs, but where you've got a pissed off Nate Dogg now, and that's great for the Colorado Avalanche. And Brian and I were talking this morning on Good Morning NoCo that I think Gabriel Landeskog's huge here. He's been here with the team. He knows what to do. But I would be shocked if he didn't let the team feel a little bit of Nathan MacKinnon wrath this over the last couple of days, because they needed a kick in the ass to tell them, hey, boys, we got to get going. And Nate Dogg is going to be the one to do that. You're the fastest team in the league. Go be the fastest team in the league. If Vegas wants to jump out like they did on the goal they scored on the lucky bounce after the Avs power play Avs power play was concluding, if they want to play unfundamental and undisciplined hockey, let them do it. Go be faster than them and have those high danger scoring opportunities.
Yeah, I'll take my chances in a 4-3, 5-4, 6-5 kind of game 97% of the time with this ball club.
All right, picks on Friday. Everybody knows that.
Friday.
An hour today.
Power hour.
Yeah, power hour here. We like the Avs to win big or win a close one.
I think just reverse the score from the other night, and I think Avs on top.
Okay.
What was it? 4-2?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like 4-2?
No. I don't think 5-2? I don't think that's enough goals.
6-2.
More.
7-2?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I think it is a butt-whooping at Ballarina. This may be homer, maybe what? 5-1 Avs. I mean, I think that level of let's get up and go translates to the defensive side, too. The one thing, like, Brett Kulak has got to be better. And he was the hero in Game 5 against the Wild. And I know he was out on the ice. Dustin and I have gone rounds about this. But he's got to be better out there. And if he's better tonight, I think that defensive side looks a hell of a lot better. And I think Scott Wedgwood, to Dustin's point, is much better tonight as well. I got 5-1.
All right. We like the Avs winning tonight. No question about it.
What's your score prediction?
I probably like more of a 4-2.
Okay.
I'm going to piggyback on
you're
Durst.
You're copying Durst.
Jump
you're
on Durst's his back. Getting on his back. And
that's
gonna,
an HR violation.
That's a Friday.
That's
casual
true.
Friday,
casual
do
Friday.
Anything. Speaking of casual Friday, we got to get to this. We didn't do a review last week. Michael didn't review Bull Durham with Derbs and Danson. So we'll see if he actually watched Major League. I can't hear you. What? You got to press the on button, Mike.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's all right.
Well, there are differences between running a show and running baseball.
What?
Mike is a very angry person today.
What are you talking about running baseball?
You just ran a baseball game.
You run track. You play baseball.
Yeah. Did you watch the movie, Michael? Grumpy Gills over there.
Maybe.
Let's see. Texter here from the 720. The Hammer chiming in from Denver with two takes. Long rest in the playoffs is a real issue as the team gets out of rhythm. You saw that with Carolina and Colorado both. Now that they have lost, they're awake. Makar missing two games tells me it's something more serious, but the Avs back in rhythm gets them a win tonight.
Okay, I'm going to push back a little bit because I've been tired of people saying, well, the Avs are just rusty because of the rest. They had one more day of rest than Vegas did. Like, let's stop acting like that was a huge thing. They had one more day of rest.
Do you think maybe that affects the favorite a little bit more sometimes, though?
No, I honestly think that there was part of the Colorado Avalanche that thought they could just stroll in here and smack them. I think people have been telling them that they've been that good, and, oh, Minnesota's way better than Vegas is, and you saw it in the regular season. Look at the record of Vegas. I think the Avs got a little complacent in game one, thought they were just going to roll through and smack them, and that damn sure didn't happen. But the rest thing with the Avs, I don't think you can use. Because Lord knows Vegas got out of Anaheim as quick as possible. John Tortorella having to pay a $100,000 fine for getting out of there as quick as possible. The rest thing for the Avs, I don't think you can use. I think you throw it out the window in this case.
I'm half and half in that comment there. Because the rush that they had the first 10 minutes of that game, there was no rust. So, like, if they would have scored twice in that first little 10-minute push there, we wouldn't have this conversation.
Yeah, they actually had some great shots to start the game.
Yeah, so I don't think the rust really took over. I think they just got punched in the mouth and then.
So do you think a little bit of complacency? I mean, do you think a little bit? It's hard to say that because they're highly tuned professional athletes. But people start hearing how great they are. That's natural for it to set in.
I lean towards it was probably just a shock to the system with out Kale out there to kind of steady some things where they just kind of. They were hoping to be up 2-1, 3-1, and then just kind of grind it down after that. And then when you go down 2-0, 3-0, that's where Kale really helps the ball club is his offensive side, not so much his defensive. So the first couple goals tonight is important to me.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was rest, rust, any of that, because they had the energy coming out. If they would have came out flat, then you can say something, but I don't think.
So we agree that the rest conversation needs to be put to bed with the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, I think so. But I wouldn't call it complacency either. They just got beat. I hate to say it.
That
but
is factual.
Beat.
Well, yeah. I mean, you get that first shot. What was that? Was that Logan O'Connor right off the pipe?
I started celebrating. Yeah, I thought
for sure that was.
I didn't thought the back of the net came straight back out.
That
can be everybody else in the crowd.
Yeah. You that can be devastating. Too,
oh yeah,
when you
sure.
see something like that. Did you guys do your homework? You watched Major League. Is the film of choice. It's another wonderful adventure of Brady and Michael review movies during the summer because there's not as many things going on. Segment on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
You might need to add Derbs in that because Derbs has been the most consistent
Derbs has
movie
literally
review.
Been
I am
in.
Now the leader in the clubhouse.
Yes.
Since Mike
it's just
here.
One of those dumb things that we do. It's Brady and Michael, but yet Derbs is actually the only one that has reviewed and watched every movie we've requested of him, Michael.
Yeah, we were signed this off season for big money. And we were supposed to, be hitting a lot, but right now he's batting
Derbs
350
our
and I'm at 167.
Now.
Mike is Chris Bryant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're probably Chris Bryant. I'm Tovar.
Yeah, you're Ezekiel Tovar. We've seen flashes, but just you're good defensively, terrible offensively. And Derbs is just, Troy Johnston out here.
Dancing and running around, wearing pink or purple coats and all
right,
that stuff.
Yeah.
Emotions on my sleeve.
Yeah.
Correct.
Very good.
Yeah.
Rallying the troops.
Yeah, because they're all Rocky, so they're not great.
Right.
But we try hard.
But they participate, except
participate.
For Chris Bryant. Yeah, you owe my wife an apology, by the way.
Why?
Because she's like, I am going to hate myself for sitting up
late last night with
a newborn that we just sat there and she liked what she saw.
I already gave you the out to not watch the movie. I already told everybody you had a big cow milking.
Yeah, I heard you.
Coming up.
And you're not doing that. I'm like,
couldn't make it. And then
so now
you
I've
texted and said you were going to watch Major League late last night.
If I want to be involved on this one, I will have to watch two movies per week, and I'm not a big movie guy the way that it is.
They're sports movies.
We do.
Sports.
Okay, so here's how it works. Start it, bench it, cut it. If you start it, that means this is the best sports movie. It's up there. It's your tops. You can watch it all the time. Bench it, it's all right. It's okay. It's just not like a go-to. Maybe you watch it once and you're okay. And, of course, cut it. It's a terrible movie and you never want to watch it again. And those are the only three categories. And anyone who tries to come up with a different one.
So there's nothing more. There's not compare it to Rudy. Start
nope.
it.
Well,
so
I
ordered
it. Bench it. Cut. Send
I'm
it to
the like minor.
That. No.
I'm going to ask an East Side Chris question about the quarterback toilet bowl. What roster are we talking? Like how many?
It doesn't matter.
How many starters?
It's never ending.
Okay.
Never ending starters.
Okay. Okay. So it's not like it's a basketball team. You can only have five on your starting rotation. Okay.
No.
Okay. Good.
No. So far you started Bull Durham, right?
Yes.
And then you benched. the natural.
That's becoming a I should have cut.
Well, you can. You could,
but,
yeah,
right. But yes, said bench.
I cut the natural, and then I did start Bull Durham, even though I wasn't here. And now we got to figure out where we're going with Major League.
Is there an injured reserve spot?
No, stop. Stop.
I just asked a question.
Look what you do to people,
Michael.
Didn't
always get my head
bit bad
off,
habit.
Then.
Bad habit.
There's an injured reserve spot?
I can't, no, this isn't smash or trash. No, just, we got to do a cop-out, and we got to come up with a compost now.
But you just put it on the IR, like in the Vegas Knights.
This is the whole
show. Put it on the IL, and then as soon as we get into the playoffs, be like, okay, now you come in.
This is not smash or trash. No, we kind of like it. So
smash, trash, or compost.
Compost. No.
STC.
On the whole show, you are either in or you're out.
That's how we do it. Scratch, a healthy scratch.
No.
I just asked about a scratch.
Why are the rules? It started, bench,
sent down
and cut
to the
it.
Eagles?
Can we option it?
No.
It's still in the farm organization.
Why is it so complicated?
Send it down to the AHL or the AAA?
Three very simple categories. Derbs gets it.
I'm an A-plus student.
Yes, thank you, Derbs.
Derbs doesn't do a lot of critical thinking, though, Brady. We're thinking a lot further into this.
You two are...
What if it's a young prospect that we want in the farm system, and we're eventually going to start it,
you
but right now...
You would... like it or you don't.
It's got to be
we're philosophizing here. There needs to be more. It can't just be one, two, three. We have to
Major
really
League is
analyze
a 1989
everything.
American sports comedy film produced by Chris Chesser and Irby Smith, written and directed by David S. Ward. So let me just start with this with Major League. It takes me to the 80s. It's a 1989. I think it was 88 or whatever. It's just I love 80s movies, man. I mean, most of the time the stories are terrible. They don't really make sense, but there's something about the way the film was constructed, the music in the 80s, and...
you mean the original score?
No, the music in the 80s. This isn't... we're not reviewing... Score.
Did you watch the movie?
Star Trek, yeah, he did.
I did watch the movie.
Okay. I was
the music was to write home about.
It's just, it's
80s
style.
The motivational 80s music was awesome right before that big play-in game against the Yanks.
It was a big game. It was a huge game.
Huge
Obviously, so the... You know the premise of Major League, the owner of the team... who is played by Margaret Whitten, who is Rachel Phelps in the show in the
Rudy.
Movie, and she was a showgirl. She married the owner of the Cleveland Indians. I guess we can still call them that because it was the movie. They were the Cleveland Indians at one point, although they did have one of the reporters dressed up as a Native American.
Yeah, there's some stuff in there that I was
stuff
like,
in there that probably would not fly today,
good old
but
days.
Simpler time.
Yeah, people weren't so sensitive about
crap.
Yeah,
I guess. I don't know. But anyway, she now her husband dies. She owns the team. She hates Cleveland. She wants to move the team to
Miami.
Miami. She wants to get the team out of there. She can't get out on her deal with Cleveland unless their attendance drops to an average of...
Under
800,000.
Yeah.
And that's what made me chuckle because they're like, Miami's ready to bring in this new stadium and seat 65,000. And then, like, today they have 12 people that go to the Miami Marlins have 12 people at every one of their games. So that made me chuckle, too.
So Rachel Phelps is trying to basically tank. She wants to tank him. One of my favorite lines from the movie is right at the beginning. She's sitting down with her board or whatever, her general manager as well. And they're basically like, here are the players we're inviting to spring training.
Here's a list of the players we'll be inviting to camp.
This guy here is dead.
Cross him off then.
I just, that line right there. By the way, as we watch this movie closely, dude, Ted Lasso totally ripped off Major League. It's the same idea. Now, it changes its TV show and stuff, but that was the same premise. As Ted Lasso.
I've never seen Ted Lasso.
So, obviously, they're trying
Good for you, Tanner.
The owner of their soccer team is trying to tank the team to get back at her husband because he loves the team so much and
almost
she wanted to tank it. So, it's very close to Major League. So, Charlie Sheen is in this. Tom Behringer?
It's
Behringer. Is Jake Taylor, the catcher.
He's kind of dreamy. Like, I'm just going to say it.
I always forget
dude.
That Dennis Haysbert, who plays Pedro Serrano...
He's the Allstate guy. Said it instantly
He was also the first president of the United States in 24.
He was also the dad in Love and Basketball. He was Omar Epps' dad in Love and Basketball.
That's
and
a terrible
speaking
movie.
Speaking of Omar Epps...
Oh, not bad.
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah, it's a conversation for a different time. But he's the Allstate guy, Derbs. You're in safe hands.
Mm-hmm. That's
very deep voice.
Part
yes,
of him.
Yes, Michael.
Speaking of Omar Epps, Omar Epps replaced Wesley Snipes.
Well,
for the second
but
one.
Isn't it? They didn't recast it. It's just a different character.
Oh, was it a different character?
I believe so.
I have not seen
but
that movie
similar.
In a long time.
Major League 2 actually pretty good. Major League 2 not bad for a sequel.
Fun fact about Wesley Snipes in this one in Major League is he's part of the team as you're going through there. He is incredibly slow in real life.
Yeah, and
he's
they always make yeah, him.
And so that's why they had
athlete.
To do the slow motion.
I thought they did in that everything. In White Man Can't Jump.
And this one.
Really?
And the same thing. He's
I was
such,
thinking about that last
so
night watching
slow
him when
he's that they had to slow it down so it looked like he was actually moving.
The movie like I've seen it a lot of times, maybe not all the way through, but every, you know, it's always on TBS, it's always on TNT, so when it's on I click it and I watch it usually to the end, but I don't remember the last time I actually watched it from start to finish. And just so many like small things that you catch, like the construction workers, by the way, the janitor in Scrubs is one of the construction workers. They all wear their hard hats while they're sitting at the bar. Like,
yeah.
You couldn't put your hard hat in your car or just not be wearing it anymore. They are so obsessed with letting the audience know that they are construction workers that they won't remove their hats.
Yeah, well, that scene did crack me up, too. And it's always my favorite when, you know, obviously way ahead in the movie now. But when the Indians do end up scoring and winning or whatever, they're all hugging and hugging. And, like, you could clearly see the separation of all the different parties. And the two guys, one of them's like a goth emo dude and the normal looking dude just hug and they look at each other for a second like, what the hell? And then just start hugging again because the Indians had brought them together. I love that
yeah.
scene.
Yes,
he was a punk, not a goth emo.
You punk. Should know. 26 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break here. We are reviewing Major League. Are we starting it? Are we benching it? Or are we cutting it? Very simple rules. The Hammer already texting in. Major League is a start. It's one of the better baseball comedies. It's not Bull Durham or Field of Dreams, but it's a good movie. All right, so we got one star already. Keep it here as we're having some fun on this Friday reviewing Major League. We'll be right back.
The Golden Knights. The Western Conference Finals are on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination. And we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
The rookie sensation, Ricky Vaughn, on the pitch now. You can close the book on Kelner.
Thank God.
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
We all know that line, the just about outside, but I forget how bad of a pitch it is, and it's just like, I just missed it. I mean,
yeah, you can hear the backstop just bang.
Bob Uecker playing Harry Doyle is one of the
Bob Uecker,
and he's funny in real life too.
Yeah, rest in peace for sure. Great legend,
Milwaukee Brewers broadcaster for so many years.
However you rate this movie, Harry Doyle, that character is one of the best, most iconic sports characters in all of sports.
So with your rules of start it, bench it, cut it, can you do like individual characters you can put in the Hall of Fame? Because he like that character goes in the Hall of Fame. Harry Doyle, derbs, right up your alley.
Love Harry Doyle. literally Thank makes God. The movie go for me because like... Those one-liners are just too good.
I thought there was just more. That's
I did too.
My biggest complaint about this movie. You and I were talking about Tanner. Like there wasn't as much baseball. Like the last game, we've got baseball, a little strategy talk. There wasn't as much baseball as I remember there being.
I agree.
That's why I like this movie.
Well, I thought it should be probably an hour. 45
or so.
Probably 2 hours is what this movie needed to be.
Well, yeah, you need more Harry Doyle, too. Like, yes. I thought there was more in there than that. And like, I mean, there's so many good ones. That
I love his drink.
He
had, he's got the Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
He's slurping out of it one time, like, right into the... I love... This is like a radio thing, too. When he's like, the post-game report is brought to... You have that? Okay, play it, Mike.
Post-game show is brought to you by... I can't find it. The hell with it.
I used to work with a guy who would do that.
It takes me back, man.
Oh, it's,
I can't find it.
You know, the crowd goes wild on Vaughn's debut, and it's just, woo!
You're rapping.
Just the two of them.
And he doesn't even try to change his voice. He's just still like in his broadcaster voice.
In the berating of the color guy.
Oh,
when he,
yes.
He turns to him and he goes, what do you think of that? Oh, do you know that too?
All right, Michael's
sorry.
Bonnie, anything to add?
No.
He's not the best color man in the league for nothing, folks.
Please clip that, Michael, because I feel like that every single day.
Yeah, 100% is.
When I ask Michael a question, sorry, I wasn't listening. Ah, right, he's not the best in the world, but he's alive. That
like
was
Michael.
Oh, Harry Doyle, just the best part of that. Because, well, and I've seen Major League 2 at some point because rocket up his ass to catch that one. And then I texted that to you guys last night. I was just waiting for that call. But what was the one on the home run?
The one in the Yankees game is that ball's heading towards South America. He's going to need a visa to catch that one.
There was just
it's
so
too
many.
High, the fan
too
base.
High. I mean, the projection is too high.
Well, and what they did well turning it into the franchise was that they found the emphasis. It was Wild Thing with Ricky Vaughn.
Yep.
Charlie Sheen is great in that role.
He didn't have, like, again, I thought there was more from him even. There wasn't as much as I remember.
And I thought there was a lot from him in that. Like, that one, that memory was true. But they started emphasizing him, right, in the franchise. It was the three idiot fans out there that they emphasized in the second one. It was Harry Doyle. Like, the producer, director of the movie said, okay, we found what really works here, and let's roll with that. And I thought that was very good.
I really liked the manager of the team as well, James Gammon, who played Lou Brown. That voice is iconic. Okay. And he when he goes out there, he's trying to get in the tub.
Yeah, he's
and
butt
she's,
naked.
She's nickel and diming everything. She's trying to make this team suck, so she's taking everything away from them. Which I don't know how some of that stuff is legal for her, because like stuff to recover from injuries, they can't even get into a tub, so they bring the boat motor in and they start that. It's just great. But when he gets out and he's so pissed off, he just goes out into the locker room and he's naked. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you might want to put some clothes on. He's like, I don't remember what
we don't
said.
Have any towels.
We don't have any towels. Yeah,
I'm diving
right.
into a locker.
Yeah,
there
I can handle
so
it if
many,
you can. Like that, yeah, go ahead.
There were so many little things that I didn't catch. So Tom Berenger, or Berenger, however we're saying, Jake Taylor, his character, I forgot kind of how much of a sleaze he was, actually. Just, you know, he cheated on Lynn, who's Rene Russo, and he cheated on her several times to try to win her back. She's working at a library, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to read Moby Dick, and if you look closely, it's a comic book of Moby Dick. It's not actually the book. And then the other character who I think is underrated is Chelsea Ross, who plays Eddie Harris. That's the guy, the old pitcher,
mm-hmm.
who looks like he's 87 out there. He's like trying to be the Christian guy. So he gives Pedro a ton of crap because he's a voodoo dude.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's trying to preach to him on the plane, the crappy plane they're on, while he's reading Hustler. And I just missed some of those little things in the movie that I completely spaced.
What was the character's name, the old pitcher?
Eddie Harris.
So that was the clip that I had sent to Micah that I wanted to play. It was when he's looking there and Ricky Vaughn's looking at him like, what are you putting on? And he's like, well, I've got this here, I got Vagisil here. And he's like, anything to get an edge. And boy, the Rockies ought to try it.
Like, I'll put some habanero pepper in my nose.
Yeah, if the umps are really looking, I'll put a little jalapeno.
Like, put snot on the baseball? Hey, when you get to my age, you put anything on to give you something.
Yeah.
You know?
there were so many of those, just the dynamic of the different players in the locker room as well. And then, of course, they get on that winning streak. And I remember, I mean, obviously, the first time I saw this movie, I was probably 12 or 13. And boy, I loved their motivation of trying to get them on the winning streak. winning streak when they would remove a piece of the clothing. As a 12-year-old boy, I was like, boy, I hope the Indians win it all.
Well, an iconic sports line, not just in the movie, but it was Jake Taylor saying there's only one thing left to do, and that's win the whole effing thing. Any game you go to, if you're down in a game, they're going to play that. And it's iconic. Michael, thoughts?
Well, I loved it when James Longstreet was like, I don't want to send the troops up the... Another Tom Berenger movie. Gettysburg, one of my favorites.
What are we doing? What are you doing?
I'm just saying, I mentioned Gettysburg several times.
What you guys are talking about. I'm going to come in out of nowhere and bring it in.
Tom Berenger was great in Gettysburg.
Who cares? Everybody should watch that movie
if you have 4.5 hours.
What are we doing? Oh, my gosh.
One of my favorite scenes about Jake Taylor, though, was the dinner party when he shows up because he thought it was a little stalkery, by the way.
Several stalking moments
but, you know, in this movie. It's because he loved her.
In the 80s, stalking is romantic.
You could do anything in the 80s.
Ask Ted Bundy. She goes, this isn't my place. And then the foot measuring contest that those two get into, I love it.
That little line at the end.
Oh, my God. Because, when the gal goes, you know, don't ball players make pretty good money? And he goes, depends on how good they are. Jake Taylor says that. And the gal goes, how good are you? And he goes, I make the vet minimum. I started giggling. And what's your plan after baseball? Can't play baseball forever. And talks about the swimming.
Having an Olympic, four Olympic swimmers.
And then the other guy at the party goes, well, Lynn, weren't you an athlete? What'd you do? Well, the 200 medley scene. Yeah, and I was like, I love that.
Well, the last line when he's leaving, when Jake Taylor's leaving, the boyfriend says, hey, stay the hell away from her. Yeah. His line back is great. I had two holes in this movie. I do have two holes in this movie. 39 minutes after the hour. Let's talk about that. Okay. And then we'll, of course, give our final review. And maybe Michael can stay on topic today. We'll see. Probably not. We'll be right back. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player. And you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Got you some legs, baby. Just won't quit. Got you a pretty boy and it looks pretty. You got you one on
there's
the
a style to 80s. I mean, there's just a style, man. And this is certainly one of those. For the most part, I mean, you have to look pretty deep in my mind to find a lot of holes. Again, a comedy. I'm not looking for it to be like this perfectly well-written story, amazing, whatever. The only real issue I had, and I think I alluded to it earlier, guys, and we're reviewing Major League, obviously. We got Tanner, dude down the hall, and Michael. My biggest issue is probably Renee Russo's character, Lynn, is she takes Jake Taylor back so quickly, or not so quickly, I mean, kind of stretched that out throughout the movie, but he must have cheated on her.
That happens all the time, though. I
think it's a flaw because she's getting ready to move in to an apartment with a very rich guy. Clearly they must have a good relationship, but all it takes is for Jake Taylor to say, I'm back. Oh, you're a librarian? I want to prove that I'm not a scumbag anymore. I'll read Moby Dick. Didn't actually even read Moby Dick. He read a comic book version. So he's trying to prove that he's not immature and all that. He's reading a comic book. He had some great lines when they were fighting about him cheating.
Yeah.
What was the line, Tanner?
What do you want me to do? She bet me $50. She had a better body than yours, and yours was better.
She said,
the whole library stands up.
And she said, you cheated on me in Costa Rica or whatever. He's like, well, what do you want me to do? She bet me that she had a better body than you.
Yeah.
I was defending your honor. That was great.
She goes, of course I've got a better body. And they all turn, and Jake Taylor goes, it's true.
It's true. And it's not that big a deal. I just thought Jake Taylor was. It's not true.
It's 80s true love, which is not great.
Obviously, she was waiting for him to come back around.
I just always thought he was the hero of the movie. Like it was, he wasn't really the hero of the movie.
I think,
like the good guy.
Hero on the field, maybe not so much off.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I just thought maybe they broke up because he was busy, she was busy. I forgot that he actually cheated on her.
Yeah, well, and also because he moved to Mexico to play in the Mexican League.
But he's also like, I'm a changed man. Literally 5 minutes before they called him, he's lying in bed with a woman after it looks like he's pretty, you know, hungover. And it, you know,
he says so, he's actually hungover. He thought that the call was a prank.
He thought the call was a prank, and the way they're getting all the players was great. Charlie Sheen answering the phone from jail.
I'm not going to make it there.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to be there for April 1st.
Lou Brown, going, can I call you back? I got a guy on the other line looking for some white walls.
Faith says this movie definitely screams 80s movie, LOL. Yeah, no question.
What was the other one? Okay, because I dismissed
it. Very small, but I would have liked one line or two, because in order to sell, to move the team, they needed to have a certain average.
Under 800,000 on the year.
Under. Well, clearly they hit that.
Maybe.
Because they were competitive all year. Pretty much, other than the first, 20 games.
That was when they were doing the record check-ins. I'm like, boy, I wish the Rockies...
Oh, my gosh. I was like, dude, they're not really that bad.
They're, nine games out of, below 500.
I'm like, the Rockies would love that.
I'd do some dirty things for the Rockies to be there, man.
So the only issue I have is at the end, she's still really rooting for them to lose. Obviously, she can't move the team.
Yeah, but at that point, it's just vengeful.
I would have liked one line, the general manager to look at her and say, you can't move the team now. Why are you still rooting for this team to lose? We got to take a break 48 minutes after the hour.
But the best was when he's like, sit down, Charlie, and he just goes...
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was her
doing
that.
That was pretty good. All right, we'll be right back.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Welcome back into The Whole Show. Kind of a unique version of the show today. We didn't have a first hour today. We're not going to have a final hour of the show, but we have to hit our movie review. We are contractually obligated to hit the movie review of,
except for last week.
Of Major League, except for last week. We all got fined. Yes, Michael.
I promise to follow the rules bench it, scratch it.
Start it. Bench it
to the Rockies.
Cut it. So let's go through it. We got about a little over a minute here, guys. Derps, where are you at on this movie?
Mine's super easy because it started just for the fact I could just listen to Bob Uecker and I could be a happy camper.
So many funny lines.
So just entirely too. And it doesn't matter when, where, why I watch it. Those lines are still funny to me. I will still laugh.
Oh, yeah.
At any point. That never just gets old.
I would imagine they've got to be a little funnier even now being in the radio industry than when
he was. Oh, the reading messed up was so.
Yeah, you're meeting personalities that are like that now. It is so true.
It does. It really comes full circle. I'm like, oh, I do that sometimes.
And of course, the scene where he's like the best color guy in the business or something, it totally took me to Michael.
Yeah.
Tanner, where are you going on
that,
this?
Isn't that with the next one where he's like, Dynamite drop in?
Yeah.
Dynamite really drop in.
That's the second movie.
Yeah. That's what he said.
Thanks.
Tanner, we got about a minute here.
It's where a start. Yeah, you start this bad boy. Absolutely.
Michael, where are you going on this one, buddy?
Yeah, even though I wasn't a big fan of James Newton Howard's original score, which didn't need to be all that great. He was much better later in his career. I think I would actually start it. No, Tanner, don't throw yourself out the window.
Yeah, you would start it, Mike. I can't get away from it. I'm starting it. It's an easy start. There was a moment where I was like, should I bench it? No, it's too good. There was a lot of things that I missed. I love the 80s style, the music, whatever. I thought it was great. The newspaper clippings at the beginning of the movie were wonderful. So many great things and stuff that I missed too. So the two holes that I had, honestly, not really a big deal.
Yeah, I agree. The 80s style scoreboard was awesome too.
Everything.
Wahoo!
I could watch that again, right now. Mm-hmm. Let's go do it.
I want to watch number two.
Maybe we can review it. Michael will let us do it. We'll see.
No, next week is drama.
Next week is drama, Tanner.
Could be a drama still.
Yeah, it could be a drama.
Well, Jack Taylor,
there's dramatics.
Get back with Lynn.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe. All right, that'll do it. Good night, Northern Colorado.
Bonnie, anything to add?
No.
He's not the best color man in the league for nothing, folks.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.